The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I wanted to go out there and pitch as well as I can and feed off their energy as much as I could. This is a kick in the balls. You sacrifice everything in your life to be able to go out there. You push through every injury. Guys are playing through injuries. You know, we make so many sacrifices, all the training that you do for these moments to get to the postseason, and it doesn't work out. It's the worst day of the year.
This sports is so, gratifying, and so many great things happen. It's just cruel, too, at times like this, because I feel for the players because they put so much into it, and we're such a special group. You know, it's like I just told them, it's not always fair. You know, I don't think I've ever had such a good blend of good people and good players. And it really creates a bond that you hate to see them not get what, everybody thinks they deserve it this time of year. You know, I've been there with them every step of the way and seeing what they put into it and how much they cared. So, they're a very easy group to pull for, as a fan, as a coach, as a manager, as a teammate, and I just feel that for them, it's not something that's sharp either. It's like a dull, it's not going to go away. But in a lot of ways, you hope it's a stepping stone. It drives you in the off season. I know it will be, and Billy, and I know the players, hopefully we can gain something from the pain. It was, it's one of those things you can't do anything but say it was self-inflicted. It's not like, there were, you get, you seek your level, and we're not going to be able to continue to play. But I think I feel for the players and their families and the fans that were so supportive. And I think that's what I take. The biggest disappointment I take is for the players and the fans and the organization. There's so many people that, give so much to it, trying to get to the last step, and it's so difficult. But, it's just but like I said, everyone feels that way this time of year. The 10 teams playing, that it's such a roll of the dice in October. But we just didn't do much with the bats tonight.
All day long about the schedule after they played the Dodgers and it opened up and they had the loss in Atlanta and then the loss this series. It's terrible, but being so close to the clubhouse, so closely removed from being in there, we knew these guys had a special group and a special chemistry like Todd talked about. This is going to eat at them. This will be something that they talk about for their whole lives. Some of the guys, this might be their favorite season they ever had. This is going to be hard for them to say goodbye. You're with these guys for 7 straight months. Even with the truncated season with the lockout, these guys came together quick. They showed who they were, their DNA, the way they went about their games, the way they went about their business. Something that was fun. Now, somebody being on this side of things now, watching them go to work every day was special because they did it the right way. They They did it fun. They played 27 outs. These guys paid attention. They battled at bats. I enjoyed watching them and watching these guys in the clubhouse. You knew that they were feeling something special. So this one's going to eat at them for a while. Like Bassett said, this is going to hurt. This was a team that they thought should win the World Series, could win the World Series, but it's still a game that you have to play, and this one's going to stay.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Monday, October the 10th, 2022. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media, and you can show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G. Mike Silvat, TalkingMetsPodcast.com. And I want to welcome in the good folks from the Fan-Sided Podcasting Network, as well as RisingApple.com. Well, welcome to the wrap-up the 2022 season edition of the Talking Mets Podcast. We're here way too soon, and I've had about almost 24 hours to marinate on what I witnessed on Sunday night as the Mets get shut out, lose the wild card series to the San Diego Padres 6-0. A night that did not have much activity on the offensive end. Had a little bit of juice where Buck Showalter wanted to see if there was some cheating going on there with a member of the Padres, also a former member of the 2017 Astros, and bringing up the whole sticky substance debate again, which is still raging on Twitter as I come to you on this Monday night. But what I wanted to do with this show, and I had promised, I'll come after you every game, but I really wanted the game that takes to marinate coming to you right after when the Mets lose. You got to really hear what everybody says. And I think you heard from Max Scherzer. You heard from Buck Showalter. You heard from Jerry Blevins, who I thought very eloquently gave the outsider kind of former player. But I think the take that all of us were feeling, a very mature take from Jerry Blevins. And, I wanted to have a reaction to what happened and kind of a post-mortem on the season. And I'm not going to get too deep into the off-season today because I don't think that that's the time and the place, but that'll come pretty shortly. You want to let things kind of play out. You're already hearing some thoughts from the Mets front office. I will tell you this, and I've said this for a long time. You want to listen to somebody and get who has a feel of what's going on with the Mets, and it's not opinion dressed up as news or source news. It's Andy Martino. That's all I'm going to say on that. And I've said that for many years. Like him, don't like him. Like the way he reports. Like him, don't like him. Like that he throws politics into his tweets. I don't care. The guy knows how to whatever sources he has within the Mets organization. They're good, and he gives you the take, and he's very balanced on that. Now, here's how I'm going to start before I get to my point. I wanted to read you this quote, and it's from former baseball commissioner Bart Giamatti, the late Bart Giamatti. And he talked about baseball, and he put it into these words. It is designed to break your heart. The game begins in spring when everything else begins again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings, and then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops and leaves you to face the fall alone. And there is no better quote to describe how I personally feel now that the 2022 Mets are in the history books than that quote today. Because, and to say Jerry Blevins, and I'm going to, maybe I'm going to sound like a homer here. I pride myself on being objective, being the bridge, trying to give you what I believe is my educated opinion and information and knowledge on how the industry works and bridging it with the fan passion. I've always felt I'm the perfect guy to do that because I grew up a Mets fan. I do want to see the team win, but I also want to come to you here, not as a fan show, but as someone that could provide that bridge and be a professional while still having the same passion that comes through in order to give you the best product possible. But I felt this team was given a raw deal by the media for years. They did a lot of self-inflicted wounds. There has been a lot of chaos with the ownership change, and we've talked about it, the GMs and multiple GMs and hiring managers, firing managers, managers that didn't even have a chance to manage the team and got fired and get caught up in a scandal that had nothing to do with them. Thumbs down, you know, off the field, sexual misconduct, whatever you want to talk about, has gone on the last 5 years. Nothing to do with baseball. And even at this time last year when we were talking about how nobody wanted to work for the Mets, nobody wanted the GM job, nobody wanted to work for Steve Cohen, the Mets were going to become, because they were going to be forced to, this weird analytics, extension of 0.72, Cohen's investment group. All these things that we were talking about, which nothing that you heard at this time last year was leading you to believe that this team could play in the deep end of the pool at any point in 2022. You were just hoping things get in the right direction. Forget about being 24 wins better than the year before. But right around Thanksgiving, right around when Steven Matz turned down the Mets contract offer, actually maybe a little bit before that when Billy Epler took the job, which was out of left field. You didn't even have him on your bingo card of who you wanted as the GM. And then the brilliant hiring of Buck Showalter a few weeks after. But right around when Steven Matz turned down Steve Cohen's money, right before Thanksgiving, and then they had their Black Friday blitz with Canna and Escobar and Marte, and then surprised everybody a week later by going into the real deep end of the free agent pool by signing Max Scherzer right before the lockout started. Right at that point, and even from the standpoint of when around St. Paddy's Day, the lockout was lifted, they brought in Chris Bassett on a trade, and everything the Mets did from that point forward, from when they signed and had their Black Friday spree right after Matz turned them down, all the way to a couple of weeks ago when they went down to Atlanta with needing one win to win the division, was positive news about the Mets. It was probably the best media coverage that you've ever seen about the Mets. It's the best you felt about the Mets in forever, maybe since the 80s. And that's true. And we've been through some great times in 2015, you know, the 2000 Mets, the 99 Mets, what have you. You probably haven't felt this good about the team since the 80s. However, I think that's why this hurts so bad. And I keep asking myself, why do I feel today the same way I felt after they lost Game 7 in 2006, because they were far closer to achieving the goal of winning a championship in 2006 than they were this year. They were in the wild card round. You know, do I feel worse than when they lost to the Yankees in 2000? No, but it kind of falls into all three. You know, the worst end of the season, I felt disappointed after the Kansas City series, but that was a very fulfilling season. It didn't end up where you wanted it to be, but once you get to the World Series, again, the playoffs, as I've said it, if you don't believe it, you saw it with your own eyes over the last 3 days, the playoffs is a tournament. It's a crapshoot. Why do I feel this way? You know why? Just like what Jerry Blevins said, I fell in love with this team. Everything that I've hoped this team could do and should do, everything that's good about winning, everything that you wanted out of your team. Not only did you win, but they were likable guys. They were having fun. They won in a way that was exciting. It wasn't just waiting for the 3-run home run. They had elite pitching. They had this closer that had this dominant, maybe best reliever season ever in the history of the Mets. He didn't blow a game in the ninth inning. I mean, he did, but they didn't lose a game when they led after the ninth inning. I mean, he blew a game against Arizona. I think he blew another game. Blew a couple of saves over there. But those games, they won. So even when he did blow a save, they won. I mean, they did not have a single heart-wrenching, gut-punch ninth inning loss all year. You can't ask for better than that. They won the second most games in franchise history. Everything, the way the bullpen was managed, everything came up aces. I have to tell you, you probably, in a way, maybe this was expected, because the law of averages was that for even the best of teams, something bad's going to happen. And it happened in Atlanta, where they couldn't get one game and they lost the division on that day. And then a week later, they play the Padres, a team that, you know, as I looked at the matchups, I knew Darvish was tough. I knew Musgrove was tough. I wasn't really a big fan of Snell. I proved to be right on that. But I said, look, that's a three-game set. They've got their big three. They're going to be able to take two out of three. And if I had told you at the beginning of the year, you have six games in about a week, and you've got Scherzer, DeGrom, and Bassett, and you know each one is going to get two starts in those six games, and you got to win three of them, you would have signed up for that. You would have signed up for having the two best pitchers over the last 5 years in a short series. And when that doesn't happen because those guys don't pitch up to their, well, not the back of the baseball card, but their baseball reference page, you got to just say, you know what? It just wasn't meant to be. And it hurts because here we are on October 10th when I really thought we'd be preparing for the LA series and really a series that I was looking forward to see how far the Mets could come. And instead, we're doing postmortem. Instead, we're thinking about next year and starting to think about how the Mets could keep the band back together. And oh yeah, our friends, the New York media, are doing what they do best, which is gaslighting you, trolling you, and making you feel like complete garbage for clicks. It's their job, but there could be some professionalism when it comes down to it. Now, I'm not here to sugarcoat it. You know, I could feel, and I just gave you kind of the fan point of view. I'm not here to sugarcoat it. We had this conversation about a month ago when Casey Stern, formerly of MLB Network, was on the show. And he had said anything less than getting to the championship series, the NLCS, would be a disappointment. And I didn't really agree with him on that. I thought winning the division, and even if they lost in the division series or lost in the postseason, the progress this team has made in just a short year was enough for me to put a check mark on, yes, this was a good year. I can't say that today. Now, I'm not in the camp of an Evan Roberts who came on WFAN today. I just heard the clip and said it's a complete waste of time. If spending time with a baseball team, unless they win a championship, is a waste of time, well, guess what? Yankees, best team in the history of baseball, 27 World Series. They've only won a championship in the last 122 years, 22% of the time. So 80% nearly of those seasons. Now, obviously, people around today haven't watched the Yankees since 1900. But 80% of the time, you wasted your time. If that's what this sport is about, this hobby's about, this relationship is about with this team, then I think it's unhealthy for you. And I think you, as a fan, need to rethink that. That's a separate conversation. I'll talk about that in a minute. The season was fun. That's why this hurts. The season was transformative. The Mets now are a team with cash flow. They have some really interesting young offensive prospects. We'll see where those guys go if they stay with the team and are not traded. They have a good group, core group. They have a batting champion. They have a guy who could win a home run championship. He certainly had the most RBIs in the league. They've got an elite defensive shortstop who can hit you 25 homers and drive in 100 runs. They may be able to bring back the best closer in the game. They've got two, and let's see if they'll keep both, two of the best starting pitchers in the game over the last 5 years. They got a great pro in Wright and a catalyst in Starling Marte. They've got an elite leadoff hitter and run creator. They've had him for a while. Maybe he'll be back. I think he'll be back in Brandon Nimmo. And oh, by the way, if they bring Chris Bassett back, they still got a pretty good big three. A little bit of age on that, but maybe those guys could bridge the gap over the next 2 or 3 years until maybe they could get some younger arms coming up to augment that rotation and pass the baton to the next generation. With that said, losing without giving yourself a chance against the Braves or the Dodgers just, it doesn't make the 101 wins a waste. It doesn't take away from the fun in the season. It just added to the weight of that yoke that we talk about that much more. And this group of guys who came in here on St. Paddy's Day with a truncated spring training because of the lockout and threw this thing together, We didn't know how this was going to work. And really, from day one in Washington, or that first Friday when Lindor gets hit in the head with a pitch and they come out of the dugout and they really started to band together around a guy who had a terrible first year in New York and really needed to see that support. From that, I remember that event with Buck charging out of the dugout. This team came together and made you happy and exceeded your expectations every night until Atlanta. And because of Atlanta and because of this weekend, there is a good swath of the fan base, and you know the media, that's ready to say, you guys are no different. You guys betrayed me. And that just adds the weight of that yoke that we know this organization has, that I told you, anybody who comes here, who takes on this challenge, whether it be Billy Epler or Buck or Steve Cohen with his billions, or any player that puts the uniform on, has to deal with the fact it's almost like the New York Rangers in 1940. I hate to say it. It's kind of going in that direction. It's something that until they win a championship, it's always going to be there. And it's going to make their job harder. It's going to make the home field advantage that much less. What a disappointing showing on Sunday night by Mets fans. And that's just fact. And there is nothing you could do about it. And it will be interesting to see, will Chris Bassitt want to sign up for this? Will Jacob deGrom want to sign up for this? Money's going to be out there. And at this point, here's the good news. Steve Cohen is going to make it real hard for you to say no, because if they want somebody, they're going to get him, because he has the money to do it. It's not about getting creative with payroll anymore. It's not about deferring contracts. It's not about hoping that markets come to them as the longer they wait through the winter, i.e. Yoenis Cespedes. They want someone, they could get them. That's a big difference. Makes the yoke more manageable, but the yoke is still there. And the yoke is going to be there till they win another title. Now, the real question is, and I know, I mean, everything Buck has done, the criticism of him is mind-boggling. This is the best manager this organization has had in two decades. And outside of Gil Hodges, Davey Johnson, and Bobby Valentine, he's probably right there. You could argue that he's better than Bobby Valentine. I mean, Bobby was a different character altogether. You could argue that Buck, you know, is right up there with Davey and Gil Hodges. I mean, this is an organization that's 60 years old, has had one bad manager after another bad manager after another bad manager. And the guys who may become good managers, or guys that have promise, like a Luis Rojas, can't handle the yoke here. And they don't even get a chance because it swallows them up. Will this team, as they come to spring training, assuming that they bring the band back within reason, because I don't think everybody's going to be back, will they embrace this disappointment and use it for fuel for next year? Because now there's expectations. They're no longer a 77-win team who's disappointed and disappointing and dysfunctional. They're a 100-win team that brought the Braves down to the wire, that is expected to win a title. And if they come back with this group and add to it, even if Vegas doesn't like them or the media doesn't want to believe in them, I don't care about that. They're going to be expected by fans to win. The fans will get over this disappointment. When they report pitchers and catchers in Port St. Lucie in February, and you've been waiting through a winter of slush and snow and cold, and the holidays are over and the January blues have eaten you alive, you're going to want this team to be out on the field. And you're going to start counting down the days to spring training and opening day. I guarantee you that. Buck always says play better. I would say play better, guys, but remember how you felt watching those guys celebrate on Citi Field. Remember how you felt when all these columns were written on October 10th about how you guys are no different. You know, the whole theme, these Mets, the Mets are trying to distance themselves from some of the failures. Well, you didn't do that. They're lumping you in with those other failed teams. Do you like that? How does that feel? And the journey begins again. Everything is back to zero. It was back to zero in the postseason, like I told you it would be. But now, you know, getting to know you phase and what does this team need and then go get them. It all starts over again. Now, it's a little bit different because we kind of know what this team is, but there's going to be changes. And we also have to see, is what they built and who we know they are, is that going to carry over? And is this core, if it's together, going to learn and grow from that?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet-setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The bar has been raised. And that's a good thing. That's something that I think we're all going to be happy that we're hearing right now. And I'll tell you what, it ain't going to be easy to keep this band together. I'll get into that more in another time, probably on Sunday's show. And I'll talk to you about the schedule in a few. But just take the bullpen and bring Diaz back. I already did some. You'll be proud of me. I actually put a spreadsheet together because I'm like, I'm going to sit here like all these other, you know, smart people. I love how people in media and baseball, where we have a lot of smart people in the room, like, it's baseball guys, okay? I could do spreadsheets too. I could run numbers too. By the way, anybody who's in the audience that has some kind of job in middle management or in higher management or even lower management or even as a bean counter can do a freaking spreadsheet and figure out arbitration. Okay? It's not rocket science. I know some people like to. Well, I put a spreadsheet together. But the point I'm going to make is you want to bring this band back together and forget about the bullpen. Just say Diaz comes back and May is gone, Lugo is gone, Ottavino is gone, Givens is gone. Just that, when you add in the arbitration raises and signing the big guys like DeGrom and Nimmo and Diaz and Bassett, and let's say you bring back Walker and Carrasco, just bringing those guys back is going to cost Cohen an extra $50 million. You're looking at a $320 to $330 million payroll before you touch the bullpen. And that doesn't include the competitive balance tax. A huge payroll. Now, is he up for it? Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see. But they're going to have to be if they want to continue the momentum. You know, I've seen fans over the weekend, even before game two, after they lost game one, it's time to rebuild. You know what that is? The rebuilds are attractive because there's no pressure. There's no expectations. There's no disappointment. And you just heard me quote Bart Giamatti. This game, it's the theme, it's the title of the show. Baseball is built for disappointment. It's designed to break your heart. Because there's an 80% chance, if you're the New York Yankees, that your fan base is going to go home unhappy. If you're a Mets fan,
You've been in the league about 60 years. You won two titles. There's a 97% chance that you're going to go home unhappy. And then everybody else falls somewhere in between. So the best case, 80% unhappy. The worst case, 100%, because there's teams like the Texas Rangers that have never won a title. You're a Mets fan, you're 97% unhappy. Guess what? It's a game of failure. Jeff McNeil had led the league in batting average. He failed over 65% of the time. Even in the second half, when he hit out of his mind, hit almost 380, he failed almost, 60% of the time, over 60% of the time. That's the kind of game we're talking about. And that doesn't mean that I'm satisfied or it's okay to lose or it's okay to only get one hit against Joe Musgrove. He was dealing. It's funny, nobody ever says when they say the Mets are this, the Mets are that, the media says the Mets did this, they never factor in, well, the other team wants to win too. So when DeGrom shuts out teams and makes them look foolish, does that team have no heart? Of course you don't say that. How could you say that? That's Jacob DeGrom. Well, they look at it that way too against us. But I will tell you what I've seen, and this is really sad, and I know it's a business model, so I get the money. Like I said the other day, when they say it's not about the money, it's always about the money. The fan versus the team divide that the media is creating and will continue to create for clicks, Mets for clicks, is going to be enhanced. They want you to hate this team. They want you to believe that this team can never win. They want you to believe that everybody will leave. They are hoping upon hope that Jacob DeGrom bolts. Did you see what Joel Sherman asked Lindor? Basically, when asked about the concept of a lost sense of trust between the team and the fan base, remember that, the team and the fan base. Sherman asked that. It's a theme. And Lindor said, I mean, we didn't come through. We didn't finish the way we wanted. The expectation was always to win the World Series, and we didn't do that. We came up short. I appreciate them coming out and supporting us and wanting us to win the World Series to go deep in the postseason. We wanted it as bad as they wanted it. I hope that relationship's not lost. They were here tonight. They supported us. They cheered us on the whole time. This is a very knowledgeable crowd. They know the game. They know it's not easy. They know it's part of the ride. Of course, they want to win just as much as we want to win, but you've got to build from this year and move forward. I haven't been here long enough. I'm sure that's the same speech every single year, but at the end of the day, that's how I feel, and I truly believe this was a step in the right direction. They want a divide. They want you, the theme is the Mets haven't earned your trust. Beat them up until they earn it, and we'll get the clicks along the way. They want a divide between the fans and the team and everything the team does. Why? Because that agita in their minds is going to keep you coming back. You know how you stop that? You don't sign up for The Athletic and click on Ken Rosenthal's article because you know what it's going to say. You could just tell by the headline. You don't click on the New York Post when Joel Sherman trolls you. You don't listen to WFAN when Evan Roberts says, and I like Evan, big Mets fan, but why do you want to hear that crap? You know what, me? I got to go through because I got to talk about it on here. I got to feel the pain. But personally, it's not that I just want to read Beds of Roses here. I'm tired of the headline, everything is they're great or they have no heart. It's all sports. I mean, they were killing the Jets and Giants just a month ago. Now everybody loves them after, yesterday. Talk to me in 2 weeks. Tell me how much they love them. Talk to me in January, unless they win the Super Bowl. The goal is going to be Mets for clicks, fans versus team. They're putting it together. And you know what? I wouldn't blame a guy like Bassett or DeGrom for saying, this is just not for me. Do I need this? I could go make more money elsewhere, pay less taxes, by the way. He goes to Texas. Mets are going to have to, depending on what the contract offer is, it's a far more expensive proposition playing here. I mean, look at the NBA. How many players go out to the West Coast because they have a better, that's not a tax thing. It's just a better lifestyle. You're seeing it all the time. New York is not the same as it used to be. I mean, Bassett said it best that you know, you win here, and Buck has said it. He's quoted David Cone. They're waiting to embrace you, and I agree with that. And it's great when you win here, but the cauldron you got to go through to get there, it's exhausting and unfair. And I'm not asking for it to change, but could we have a little bit of balance? Could we have a little bit of context to what we talk about? And that's what this show's about. This is not a fanboy show. I mean, I get criticized all the time. Well, you're being soft in the organization. No, I'm trying to be balanced here. Look, if they screw up, you'll know about it. If they come back next year and they don't sign Bassett, they don't sign Diaz, and they don't sign DeGrom, and they let Carrasco and Walker go, and you're staring down, Drew Smith as your closer and Peterson and McGill as your 3 and 4 starters, I ain't going to come on here and say that's a good offseason and they're going to win a championship. I promise you that. So, really, my message to you is this. Don't fall for the bait. This is a different era in Mets baseball. And I'll be the first to say I'll be shocked if I hear in 30, 60 days, Steve Cohen doesn't want to expand this payroll. The Mets are going to take a step back. They're going to see how the kids do. And they're going to play this out next year because of the failures that came here. It came through this season. You think Max Scherzer signed on? And he only signed on for a year of this, and he's going to want to sit the next 2 years and throw to Francisco Alvarez and have Brett Beatty at third and have no closer out there and have a naked rotation. You think he signed up for that? You don't think he asked those questions? You don't think Scott Boras, who's a pretty smart agent, said, you're not going to have DeGrom in a year. What's your plan there, Steve? By the way, it's not just Steve. You notice they say Steve and Alex Cohen. The wife is as involved. You don't think that has a big impact on these players when she talks to their wives? I know, Scherzer even talked about it. You don't think the circles that Cohen runs in have value to these guys off the field? Think about it. These are things the media is not going to tell you because they don't know anything about it because they're still eating peanut butter jelly sandwiches and, they're the working class, mindset. That's not what these guys want. These guys want to be rich. Their wives want to be in the charity functions. Okay? When you have access to the society that Steve and Alex Cohen can provide you, that has value. So it's not the same old Mets. The Mets want someone, they'll get them if that player wants to be here. Does that mean everybody? No, we've seen it. Not everybody comes here. And stop with David Stearns. Because last I looked, the Brewers aren't even in the playoffs. I don't know why there is an obsession with David Stearns. Billy Epler's done an outstanding job coming in and basically coming in at a point in the offseason where everybody else had a 6-week jump and he had the second best record in a tie with Atlanta with all of that. I mean, read Joel Sherman's column about how almost it was Javier Baez on this team. Bob Melvin was almost the manager. Aaron Loop was almost coming back. There'll be a lot of things that didn't happen. If Baez resigned, you certainly might not have Cannon and Marte. You might have a completely, and then I don't even know, and I was all for that because I thought build around Baez and Lindor kind of, thunder and lightning there. I thought it would help Lindor, but, after seeing what, we knew Baez was a risk, but after seeing how Baez played in Detroit, who knows in New York, maybe the energy of New York would have made a difference. I think Baez is an energy player, but think about how different it would have been. He came in and he changed the course and the focus of the offseason on a dime. That's really hard to do. Give him tons of credit. And the thing we also have to remember, and I'll tell you what, when it comes to building teams and it comes to next year, we may have to rethink completely what value certain players have. I know they're in their labs and they're putting their brews together and we'll find out, but there's going to be new bases. I talked to somebody who was down in Instructs last week. He says they look like, pizza boxes, literally. They're huge. They're noticeably huge. There's going to be a pitch clock. When runners on, you can only throw over a couple of times, so there's going to be some strategy in runners on. There's not going to be a shift, so what players? I think Josh Bell, who we saw this past weekend, he's one of those players that I think was hurt most by the shift. Joey Gallo's name comes up. I mean, maybe Daniel Vogelbach all of a sudden is a different player when there's not a shift. Who knows? It's going to be back to baseball in the 80s. Maybe there's, you know, a run on 100 stolen base guy. Maybe Terrence Gore on the bench makes more sense now. I mean, I think it's a little silly, the hold. I mean, out of all the rules, I think the holding the runner on, only being able to throw over twice, you're going to give them a bigger bag, and you're only going to let them throw over a couple times. I mean, maybe there's some strategy into that. We'll see how that plays out, but, you know, whatever. But that's the game. That's going to be the game in 2023. So that's going to go into the evaluation. So there might be guys that aren't a fit anymore for the modern game. Just like the game changed with the launch angle and the swing and certain guys became obsolete really quick, that could happen with the new rules. But, and we'll get to the band at another time, but I think they should bring the band back. I think Steve Cohen should invest in the band. I think the band needs reinforcements. I think it could use more power. Maybe they have that in Alvarez. I think they should look at the bullpen and see if they could bring in another high leverage arm. I think they certainly need pitching depth. And that's the biggest concern, because right now they can't get any of that cost effective, because I don't see a lot of it in the minor leagues, at least from a starting pitching perspective. Maybe there's some interesting bullpen arms. So, you know, how high can the payroll go? Because just bringing the band back, bringing the pitching back, bringing back DeGrom doesn't leave you a lot of payroll to go out and sign a DH like Jose Abreu or Josh Bell. Doesn't allow you maybe to bring back majority, if not all, of your bridge to Diaz. But that's another conversation for another day. The yoke is heavier than ever. But the good news is you've got a manager that fully embraces it. Play better. You've got a team. Well, we'll see. They failed at their first test of the yoke. Let's see how 2023, what 2023 brings. And I think you got a smart GM that, at least for year one, showed under extreme deadline duress, where he came in late. You want to criticize his deadline moves? Well, if some of these young players they didn't give up turn out to be good pieces of 2023, which, based on what you just heard, $50 million to bring the band back, you're going to need as much cost-effective league minimum players as possible. You think maybe Billy Eppler thought about that on August 2nd? I do. That's why he brought in guys like Vogelback and Ruff, who, by the way, have contracts at a pretty good rate, and maybe they could be your DH again. I know you don't want to hear that. And the funniest part about today is not the fans throwing tantrums. Because, look, I'll quote our friend, listener of the show, Frank Petiani. I hope I said your name right, Frank. I'm ashamed to be a Mets fan today, but not because of the team. I'm proud of what they accomplished this year, and I'm looking forward to what's next. It's this fan base that has me disgusted. The takes are downright awful. Well, you know what the worst Frank take is? You have fans who want to fire the manager and the GM. What do you want to do? Every time they don't win every year, you want to bring in a new front office? You think free agents are going to want to play for that team? Yeah, Jacob DeGrom, yeah, sure, I'll come back. Every time we don't win, we'll just fire everybody and start over. Yeah, I want to play for those guys.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, come on. Remember the old saying, you could yell at your spouse because you're mad at them, and you have every right to do it. It's a free country. But you're going to pay for that after. And sometimes it gets really expensive what the outcome is there, if you get my drift. The same thing with relationships at work. You have to have simpatico. You have to feel good about who you're working for and the direction of who you're working for. And they finally seem to have it stabilized. Do you understand we're going to actually talk about offseason moves and not a GM search and not a manager search and not a president of baseball operations search and hopefully no off-the-field scandal? I don't have to hear about Sandy Alderson running around trying to figure out who's going to run the baseball operations when Sandy should be, you know, meeting with corporate sponsors. He's finally going to be exiting the premises. He did his job. He got Cohen approved. Goodbye. Goodbye. So that's my message to you. Like Bart Giamatti said, it's designed to break your heart. It broke all our hearts this weekend. But that doesn't mean it wasn't fun. It doesn't mean that it's hopeless. And I will take every bit of those words back if in 90 to 120 days as we head into the new year, we're sitting here and the Mets haven't signed anybody, they've pared down the payroll, or God forbid these free agents that were there decided they don't want to play here. That'll be a whole different conversation, especially if they feel the market's too hot for them. Then I'll change my tune and say, you know what? Now we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Mets fans, we have a problem. I don't think we're going to be at that point. I'd be shocked. I don't think they're going to sign everybody. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some drama or two on the free agent front. And I think there could be some opportunities to do something bold. And we will talk about that because I have a couple. I got a doozy of an idea, which I think will probably rankle the fan base a little bit. But I have a couple of doozy of ideas of trades because we talk about free agents, but you talk about trades that could be very rewarding. I don't know if they're possible, but could potentially change the dynamic of the team. And we'll get to that another time. But first, we want to just reflect. I think you all need to take a few days off. I personally am not going to watch any of the Yankees or the Braves or the Phillies or any of the series. I need time away from baseball. I'm burnt out. I mean, part of it is I do this show. I consume all this stuff. I'm really good. As I get older, I'm really good at balancing my life out with this, where I know when I've gone too far and I need to step back. I also know how to compartmentalize media and like, this is what's important to read. This is too much. You know, I know when I have to get into the cesspool of Twitter and read what the fans say, and I know when it's not productive. Today I had to, and believe me, I wish I didn't. Before I leave you, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for another great season. It is beyond humbling that I could spend typically an hour or so a week giving you my thoughts and opinions, bringing on guests, but the fact that so many of you leave a review, which I always appreciate, good, bad, or indifferent, the more reviews, even if it's a 3, a 4, or 5 star, it helps the program grow. The fact that you spend time and look forward to this show means a tremendous amount to me. It is beyond humbling. And I mean that. And I know some people are going to come on and they say that every time, but I hope you hear the sincerity in my voice, how much it means to me. Because when I started this is my 15th year. I'm going to be going on 16 years doing some kind of radio. This is my going on 7th year of doing Talking Mets. Many of you followed me from the Metsmerize website after I left in a dispute. And many people, by the way, who are at that website thought I was done once I left that website. And I told them I'm not done. I'm not retiring. And not only has this show thrived, but it's grown. The fact that you can spend time to send me a note, whether you're from the United States, South America, the UK, our friends, all the friends out in the UK, which is an amazing thing to think that the Mets have built a community in the United Kingdom. God bless the king, right, guys? Used to be God bless the queen, God bless the king. Our cousins there. I know we've had differences if you go back in American history, but we're cousins. We're in this together. It means a lot to me. And I want to thank you for a great season. What's the schedule going to be like? Well, it's going to be the weekly show. I think I'm going to come back to you on Sunday. I'd like to start prepping for the off season. I also think we may need a little time to marinate and rest. You know, we did one show, two shows. I mean, as I promised, I came to you after every broadcast. But we're going to go back right at it. You know, normally I used to take October off after the Mets were eliminated, especially when there was nothing going on. And I think there'll be a week or we'll take off when it gets dead. But really, post-World Series, I mean, this team has work to do. There's really no downtime. It's not the same craziness of managerial searches and GM searches, but they've got to get out and they've got to figure out these free agents pretty quickly, because if these guys are not an option or they've priced themselves out, they got to pivot and move. And as I look at the free agent list, you know, depending on which segment of the team you're talking about, there's a significant downgrade that you're talking about. You could easily see a 100-win team, you know, drop into the wild card muck very quickly. So their work's, Billy Epler has his work cut out for him. Steve Konez is he's going to have to pony up some dollars, man. I hope the market's been good to him. I know the market stunk the last 6 months, but I hope he's found a way around that. And I hope you guys are going to stick around for more Talking Mets in the offseason and into 2023, because as I talk to you here on this Monday night, it is going to go by. It's going to be Christmas before you know it. And then you and I know once we hit New Year and once it's post-New Year, we're talking like, oh, pitchers and catchers are in like 6 weeks. Like, it'll, before you know it, we'll be talking about that. You know it. And then in a blink of an eye, it's opening day. And then in a blink of an eye, it's the All-Star break. In a blink of an eye, it's the deadline. In the blink of the eye, it's the players. Like, it's just the way it is. I mean, it seems like yesterday we're talking about Steven Matz turning down the Mets contract. It seems like yesterday we were talking about the Mets winning 4 out of 5 against the Braves at Citi Field. I mean, really, it felt like yesterday. It's crazy. And it was almost 2 months ago. Time flies. Time flies when you're having fun. And even though the fun ended in a very disappointing way, I had a ton of fun with you guys this year. I really did. And thank you so much. And you could always leave me a message, leave me a note. And if I don't get back to you right away, I promise it will. And I hope we can maybe one day have a meetup of some sorts. I'd love to meet some of you guys. I know that I had an opportunity to meet some of you guys last couple of weeks, and I wasn't able to do that. And I apologize, but I'd love to one day. Not that we're the 7 line, because I don't know if I could bring in that kind of crowd. I'm not that fun. Let's face it. I'm kind of boring. I'm reserved. I like to hang out and chat, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not boisterous, or I'm not the foam finger type. Although having a foam trumpet might be fun, right? When Diaz comes out. But I want to thank everybody for everything here in 2022, and hopefully more to come and more fun to come in the offseason into 2023. All right, you can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media, and the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your week. I'll be back on the Talking Mets podcast soon. Till then, take care, everybody.
Like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.